Welcome to City Valley Church. Our vision is to be a family, loving Jesus, growing together and reaching Yorkshire and the nations. We hope you are encouraged and hear Jesus speak to you as you listen to this recording.
Yorkshire from High Wycombe and started City Valley Church, or started a small group that became City Valley Church, which then became three sites. And last year, leadership of City Valley Shipley handed that over to Becky. And Stu and Gaynor now have time encouraging the different leadership teams of the site and going to other teams in Yorkshire as well. So we don't see them as much here because they're moving around City Valley sites and also visiting these other churches and really blessing these other churches as they do that, which is really great. And we're really looking forward to sending them, after many years of pioneering, we're looking forward to sending them on some sabbatical time. It'll be close to 4 months later in the year, going into 2026 as well. So looking forward to that for you guys as well. So yeah, just for newcomers who are less familiar with the situation, and we're still in this new season all ourselves, it's just good to remember this is where we are. So Stu, come and share what is on your heart for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Al, and it's great to be here. And something I'm living, something I'm learning, very much got L plates on. So it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be here. Love being with you. Love seeing the babies that were born no longer babies, you know, toddling, seeing Madeline there just walking around. It's just amazing to just, life is happening. Obviously, significant week for all those at New Day. Loved worshipping together, loved sensing God's presence just now. And on this Bradford Shipley Sunday. I think there's a new season going on for all of us, isn't there, really, in the different sites. And for Gaynor and I, really sense that. Appreciate, just as we go into this summer and into September, appreciate your prayers just for us personally as a family. We've got our daughter who's getting married on the 27th of September, so it's not that far away at Leeds Gateway. We're using the venue there. Really is in the run up to that. Appreciate your prayers there. And obviously, as Al mentioned, just this new season for Gaynor and I, the joy of being able to come alongside, we were with a couple from the church in Sheffield, but just the joy of being able to come alongside church leaders and really provide that support and encouragement. And just, it was just when I heard Gaynor, we were with these church leaders from Sheffield, and I heard Gaynor just saying well done to them. Just they'd been going through a different season, difficult season, but just hearing Gaynor share with these two church leaders in Sheffield going well done, well done. And I just think we're loving looking forward to this place that we're in now, but in the future as well, just being able to, there's not many people that can say that to church leaders. And it's received, because obviously we've done it. We've got the T-shirt. We know what it's like. We know particularly the spiritual warfare side of what church leaders have to face and have to fight, which many people do not know. But what they have to go through, and actually this is why we really have to honour those that are leading churches and support and encourage, because there is a battle, and they're at the kind of the sharp end of that battle, like these kind of ships that break through ice, and so but for Gaynor, it's a privilege, having known God's grace in our lives over many years in church leadership, to be able to be freer to be able to say that well done and encourage different church leadership teams in the future and in the present. So yes, we've got a sabbatical this autumn, which we're really looking forward to. That sense of being able to be replenished and recharged for the next kind of ministry season. So it is on this subject. I know that Chris Frost, he leads the Christ Central UK team. We're part of a movement of churches called Christ Central. And Chris, with a team, leads that. And he sent an email I think it was probably a few months after the pandemic had finished, he sent an email round to all the trustees in our family of churches, really saying, actually, if your church leaders haven't had a sabbatical, you know, that's 3 or 4 months kind of away from the front line for rest and recuperation. If they haven't had that, then after the particularly grueling time of the pandemic, after that, that would be, you know, in the next year or so would be a good time to do that. So this is something that obviously the trustees have been owning, and for Gaynor and I, after 28 years of full-time ministry, we are having a sabbatical this autumn. Now, usually a sabbatical for like church pastors, church leaders, usually that should happen every 7 years, and it's based on the Old Testament principle where you leave a ground kind of fallow, you know, an agricultural ground, you leave it fallow every 7 years, so that, I mean, if you've watched Clarkson Farm or anything like that, you're into the zone on this, but you leave the ground fallow so that it can replenish. You know, the soil can regain the nutrients that it needs to be able to then go into the next kind of 7 years of fruitful producing of crops. So it's based on that principle. Now, as a movement of churches, we're a little bit late to the party on church leaders really needing to submit to, and churches to submit to that 3 or 4 months every 7 years. And I was thinking about it because I was thinking about, I did a study on it. I did a study on how do you, like, what is this? What is it? Actually, I was particularly thinking, well, how do you communicate this to the church? You know, like, how do you communicate what this is? And so I thought, well, let's do a study on it. This is good. I looked at the Bible passages. And when I was looking at the Bible passages, I just thought, like, there's something here that I really haven't looked at before. And actually, because the whole thing of sabbatical is derived from the word Sabbath, and obviously the Sabbath principle of having this rest day per week, and as I looked at the word Sabbath, I just thought there's something that we've missed, or something that I've missed in so many years of being a Christian. Yes, of course, you know, like, I've understood the value of having a rest day per week, and Gaynor and I have been doing that very carefully, really. We've guarded it, you know, even when we weren't working for the church, I think back in the mid-90s, we had jobs that were kind of, I was on shift work, and, you know, we weren't getting time off together as a newly married couple, so we changed our employment so that we could have this day of rest together. So this is something that we've really kind of gone for, but actually there was something here that I hadn't realized. And the thing that I hadn't realized is that taking a day, or having this kind of protected rest time per week, is actually a core spiritual discipline, the same as reading the Bible, or as praying, or as doing what we've done this morning, worshipping. That there is something in this. It's not just, it's a good thing to do for our life-work balance. Actually, there is something intrinsic about it that is about us being a disciple of following Jesus, that practicing the Sabbath. We're having this fun again, aren't we? Some things don't change. There's something about it, and I just think, no, I've not seen this. It's like, why haven't I seen this? I've been around the block quite a few miles. And the reason is because as a movement of churches, we basically, in the 70s and 80s, I mean, it was amazing what God did then, but we kind of were birthed into this amazing sense of, like, the grace of God. But because, in terms of church history, because probably in the 60s and before that, the notion of this Sabbath day was quite a legalistic, rule-based thing. And so when we came into the grace of God, we thought, oh, well, Sabbath taking, that's like the day when you can't do this, you can't do that. Actually, we're free from these rules, and we kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater. And so I think as we're maturing as a movement, we're sort of a bit on catch up, going, actually, no, we can do one of two things with the Sabbath. We can either ignore it and go, oh, we don't need it because we're now in the new covenant, we're free, or we can be too legalistic about it. And we're like trying to find the middle ground. So this is the first time I have heard a sermon on Sabbath taking as a spiritual discipline. I have given this talk a few times before, but this is the first talk that I've heard on it, and I'm doing it, you know, after 28 years of being in full-time Christian work. So it's like, I'm learning this. And actually, Pete Scarrazzo, who I've read a lot of his, listened to a lot of what he said and read his books. He's the guy that's written Emotionally Healthy Church, Emotionally Healthy Leader. He went on this same journey quite a few years ago. And so I've drawn a lot from what he's written. And there's other authors like Brueggemann or the guy that wrote The Message, Eugene Peterson. So what you're hearing now is like a lot of the Bible passages that I've been looking at and a lot of my reading around, based on me looking ahead to having a sabbatical, but actually discovering there's something here for us all in terms of the importance of Sabbath taking. So I know in the Friday email it said I was talking about sabbaticals. Well, that's what got me started on this, but I'm really talking about Sabbath taking, which is something for all of us. Right, so there's the intro. You ready? So, actually, I've got a handout, which is always good, isn't it? It's always good to have a handout. So for those of you that are in, like something to hold, something to read, something to write on. Look at the side that's got the blue ink on, the Bible passages. If you can resist looking at the other side, which is the 10 points of why sabbatical taking is a really core spiritual discipline. So on the other side, we'll come to that later. I know. I said that with a slight glint in my eye because I knew exactly what I was doing. It doesn't really matter. You can look at either side, but we're going to look at some Bible passages in a moment. Before we do that, let's do a couple of other things. So, you got the idea. What I want to do this morning is bring some balance to the whole teaching of Sabbath taking. I want to encourage us to, work from rest and make the most of, for some of us, we've got some rest time this summer. And so I want us to have some good Sabbath rest time this summer. And so we're going to look at these core scriptures. I will cover some of Peter Scazzero's points, having done all of his research on why Sabbath taking is a core spiritual discipline. So, briefly, what is the practice of Sabbath taking? Well, the word Sabbath, it comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, and it means to cease or to stop working. In the Bible, it refers to a 24-hour period each week that is called holy, meaning it's set apart, it's like a cut above the other 6 days of the week. Now, in biblical Sabbath taking, what you do is you do these four things. So, well done, Noah, you're really on it. So you do these four things in Sabbath taking. So we can have that slide up, which is nearish the beginning. So we stop from work. We rest, we delight, and I know at the beginning of the meeting you were talking to each other about some of the things that you really, that bring you delight. So for me, I love going for a run across the moors or walking. And I did miss what Felix enjoyed doing. What could you
shooting deer
fields. Okay, great. Yeah. It was good. We were really sharing those at the beginning. And then the fourth thing is we contemplate or we worship. So I'm going to come back to that later. I'm going to do the practicalities now, because if I leave it to the end, I won't maybe not get time to it. So practically, what does this mean for us today? Some of us might not be able to take a full 24 hours every week. The point is, start with what you can do every week. So that might be 4 hours, that might be 6 hours. You might actually, especially if you're parents of young children, you might have to do things in that Sabbath time that you don't find delightful. That's just reality. Changing nappies, cooking. The whole thing about, and if you read the Old Testament, you'll really see this, there's preparation in advance for the Sabbath time. It's not a spontaneous, I've got a free hour, I'm going to call it a Sabbath hour. You prepare for it. In my case, I did shift work before I was working full-time for the church. And so it was my Sabbath time was on a different day each week. So your Sabbath time may vary from week to week, but you can still plan ahead for it. The point about this planning is it's to put a safe container around your Sabbath time, which is a lot easier to say than to do. Okay? So you're nodding, because actually the safe container is the whole thing about it being holy. It's a set apart. And this is what takes the work, as it takes time to think it through. What do you not do in that Sabbath time, and what do you do in that Sabbath time? That's the safe container, that's the safe wrapper. Actually, Peter Scazzero, he said it took him 10 years to work that out. And maybe over this summer time, that can be you can be working some of that. What things actually cause stress or anxiety? Well, that would be a thing not to do during, if you can avoid it, don't do those things. Don't let that in during that Sabbath time. So it's a safe container. And part of that safe container is obviously having a clear start point and a clear end point. For Gaynor and I, we would start our Sabbath time by having a glass of wine, having a nice meal, opening a packet of crisps. For most families, the best 24-hour period is likely to be, and this is just generally here, is likely to be at some point Saturday afternoon, evening till Sunday afternoon, evening. Because actually that includes Sunday mornings, which is worship to the Lord. But obviously for those whose main job is church work, Sundays is not a good choice of a Sabbath. So Gaynor and I, we usually have Tuesday evening into Wednesday for that. Okay, so you got the handout. Now let's look at the key passages. So the first one. Of course, many of you know that taking the Sabbath is like the fourth of the Ten Commandments, and it's given here in this passage. So Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. So remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I mean, just look at verse 11. Just look at that final verse. That's amazing. The Lord who made the heavens and the earth, who worked for 6 days, rested on the seventh. I mean, that is staggering. That is absolutely mind-blowing to consider that God rested. We've got this in Scripture. You can read Genesis 1 and 2. He rested on the seventh day. I mean, he didn't, you can read in other passages in the Bible. I mean, he doesn't go to sleep at night. He's constantly watching over us at night. He didn't need to rest. Didn't need to do it. But he did. He set something in motion in the DNA of creation, that for his created beings, there's a rhythm here. You know, before he did his 6 days of creating the universe, what do you think was going on? And you had Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together as the Godhead. And, you know, when I've done a bit of research and digging into the commentaries on the Trinity, you always get this picture of the Godhead in this eternal dance. They're enjoying the relationship together of community of heaven. There's joy, there's rest, there's pleasure, there's this heavenly kind of feast of fun and party, and so they go from, God went from that place of rest to having 6 days of work and then resting again. So we're made in God's image to do the same. And this predates the Ten Commandments, this predates the law. It's like, we talk about baptism, don't we? One of the main reasons why we say get baptized is because Jesus got baptized. Did he need to get baptized? No, he was completely sinless. He didn't need to get baptized, but he did something to fulfill all righteousness. And it's like there's a massive visual aid going on here of what he wants us to do as made in his image. And it sets an example. Anyway, you've got the gist. Right. The other bit that is so jumps out of you in is verse 10. But the seventh day, and notice it, the seventh day is a Sabbath. What does it say after that? To the Lord your God. It's interesting, isn't it? The focus, the direction of travel, is to the Lord your God. So in that Sabbath time, that's why, what are the four things that I said make up biblical Sabbath? Stop from all right, that's not the time to put on. Thanks, Noah. Without looking at the but it's these four things, isn't it? But you've got in there, you've got worship, delighting, doing things that God's made you, wired you to enjoy about him and yourself. And so it's to the Lord. Actually, so it's not a day off from the point of view that a day off, the focus is on yourself. Okay? It doesn't take much to change a day off to be a Sabbath. There's a few tweaks. But it's actually in your mindset, in your thinking, is the main thing. Actually, using, I don't know if I can say this on tape, on recording, but Eugene Peterson calls a day off a bastard Sabbath. That's how strongly he feels about it. Actually, the focus of a Sabbath, time off, the direction is we are receiving, and we'll come on to this a bit later, we are receiving rest from Jesus. We are not trying to get rest in our own strength. So we'll come to that, because all these passages are loaded. Right, let's look at the next passage. So Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 15. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Okay, so what do we see about this passage? Notice there's a link between observing the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, and not being slaves. Okay? So, I mean, this account of the fourth commandment that's in Deuteronomy, this brings what Walter Brueggemann, one of the theologians that I'm referring to, this brings this reminder, and he says that Sabbath taking is like we are resisting the gods of our age. It's like we're doing spiritual warfare when we take the Sabbath, because we're resisting the gods of our age or the gods of our culture. And obviously, Al read a passage in our worship time about idols, but we're resisting these idols that seek to keep us enslaved in round-the-clock activity, production, consumption, drawing our attention to the things that go on in this world. And actually, by practicing the Sabbath, it breaks the cycle. It stops us from being enslaved to those things. So in the act of Sabbath taking, we are confronting the powers of darkness, and we are saying no to the gods of our age and whatever they're peddling, and we're saying yes. That's why it's to the Lord. We're saying yes to Jesus and what he's providing. Right. This leads me on to, this is the kind of center point here of these passages. Matthew chapter 11 verses 28 to 30. Come to me. This is Jesus saying this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What do we observe here about the order of rest and work going on in this passage? Notice this passage highlights the importance of working from rest. So can you see that? First of all, come to Jesus. All you who are weary and burdened, receive his rest. Brilliant. That's our starting point. That's what happens. We receive God's rest. Then, and only then, from that place of resting in him, do we then take on the yoke that he's given us. You know, the work that he wants us to do. And that work is light and it's easy. This is massive, because the world will say, you work, you're frazzled, flake out and rest so that you can carry on doing. So rest is just a means to carry on. Whereas Jesus says, no, it's completely not that at all. He's saying, you find rest in me. you first of all receive rest. And in that place of rest, you get the right perspective, the right orientation to then know what is the light and easy yoke, the work for you to do. So the work comes out of the rest. So the day, the Sabbath time, it feeds into actually you helping you decide, helping you understand what is the things that you should be carrying. And what are the things that you shouldn't be carrying. You get what I'm saying here? Okay? Because some of us are probably carrying things that we shouldn't be carrying. And we receive that permission to not carry those things in our place of resting with Jesus. Right. I mean, every one of these passages deserves a sermon in their own right. How long have we got till? Because I can finish this whenever we want. Yeah, sure. Okay. So, next passage. So Jesus, in conversation with the religious leaders, Jesus says, in Mark 2, verse 27, he says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." So here Jesus, you know, validates the Sabbath. It's like it's a gift. It's a gift, isn't it? The Sabbath was made for man. It's a gift. It's a gift for us to receive, to enjoy. So just going to have a 30-second interlude where I turn to the person next to you and share one more thing that you do or like to do that brings you delight. Okay? So you've shared a few at the beginning. Okay, so hopefully you've had a chance to share one more. And actually this is another really good project homework for the summer, is thinking of all the things that bring you delight. God has made you like this, and this really brings you pleasure. And doing some of those, I mean, it's great, isn't it? So the final passage is in Hebrews, and we read that Sabbath taking, it has like a future kind of signpost. It points towards the rest and the enjoyment in Jesus that we have now, but also for eternity. It points us to the unceasing joy and the delight of heaven. Hebrews 4, 9 to 10. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Okay, so based on these passages and all that I've learnt from the commentators looking at those passages, I've got this list. Well, actually, this is Pete Scazzero's list, and I'm not going to go through them all, but they're there just so that, you know, you've got them. I mean, you can look him up online and you can listen to him talking through that list of 10. But it's so compelling when you see a list of 10 things why Sabbath taking is a core spiritual practice. So just going through a few of them, I've already made the point about Sabbath is something God did, and we're made in his image, so we're created to do that as well. So I've already made that point. The second point is interesting because Sabbath, it's built into the DNA of creation. And what's interesting is there's a theologian, H.H. Farmer, he picks up on this, and he says that actually if you therefore go against the grain of creation, you will get splinters. It's like a sort of law of gravity thing. It's like a common sense thing. Creation is wired like this, And if you try and live in a different way, it will have a negative effect. You know, so you've got natural rhythms, haven't you? You know, the sun comes up, the sun goes down, tide comes in, tide goes out. You breathe in, you breathe out. There are like natural rhythms in creation. There's like, this is a natural rhythm. And so, as image bearers, we're invited into Sabbath taking as part of this natural creation rhythm. And if we go against that natural rhythm, actually there's like, instinctively inside of us, we will feel that something is not quite right. Something's a bit off. Even more than that. So you've got the illustration of the French Revolution in the 1793, I think it was, where what they did was they ditched the 7-day week calendar. It was their attempt to try and kind of get rid of anything that's Christian. So anyway, get rid of the 7-day calendar, let's put a 10-day calendar in, and like you have one day of rest every 10 days. It did not work. I mean, like, people got burnt out, they were confused, and Napoleon reinstated back to the 7-day a week calendar. Some of the splinters that we can experience if we go against God's natural rhythms are stress, exhaustion, fatigue, being burnt out, sleeplessness, depression, anxiety spikes, crying at unusual times. The list goes on. Actually, I experienced some of these splinters when I got out of the habit of taking regular Sabbaths a few years ago, with like doing all the work here with supporting the different sites and leading the Yorkshire and Northeast region, and then coming back in to help in Shipley. And then when Gaynor needed to support her mum in deteriorating health and then she wasn't able to volunteer time to help me in that, I then made the mistake of just carrying on rather than assessing and going, actually, what's realistic here? What work should I be doing? And I, you know, learned the hard way that actually we are all made in God's image. And we cannot go against these natural rhythms of rest, getting orientated in that place of rest, and then working from rest. Maybe some of you, I mean, I've learned the hard way, I've still got L plates on, but maybe some of you have learned the hard way as well. So, without Noah telling us, what are the four things that make up biblical Sabbath?
Stop. Rest.
That's great. Just want to pick up on what I've just talked about there, actually. Point four says Sabbath helps us embrace our humanity, vulnerability, limits, and finiteness. Sabbath helps us embrace our humanity, vulnerability, limits, and finiteness. It's like in Sabbath taking, this is a great place to end, but in Sabbath taking, we take the hands off the wheel of our lives, you know, the steering wheel of our lives, and we say, actually, we're not in control. We're not in control of our lives, of our circumstances. We're not in control of the universe. Actually, we can let him run the universe. And in taking that time off on Sabbath, we are saying to God, you are God, you are infinite, you're the one running the universe, you're the one caring for us, caring for our family, caring for our circumstances more than we could ever try and care for ourselves. And actually, God is the one. He is the one. He is in charge. He is infinite. He's doing that. So in Sabbath taking, we are recognizing that we are limited and God is not limited. Actually, this is, for our culture, this is massive. You know, and this is, I'm still learning this. You know, I can think, I can do things. I have to keep reminding myself, actually, I cannot trust in my own sufficiency. I have to trust in God's sufficiency. And what is amazing, just finishing off with point eight, Sabbath offers a lived experience of God's grace. Sabbath teaches us that we don't work to please God. Rather, we rest because God is already pleased with us. Do you hear that? It teaches us we don't work. It's not our achievements. It's not our accomplishments. Like that. That's like, no. We rest because God is already pleased with us. We don't work to get God's pleasure. We don't work to get God's love. Jesus on the cross has already done the work. He said it is finished, didn't he? He has done the work already. So in Sabbath taking, we are living out the grace of God. We are having a day where we are focusing on being God's loved son or daughter, who he delights in, who he just loves hanging out with, loves us enjoying it, and we don't earn his love through anything that we accomplish. Let's pray. Well, Jesus, we just thank you for the grace of God. I just thank you that you are the one who comes to anoint our head with oil, and you are the one that causes our cup to overflow. Thank you for the overflow. Thank you, you are the one who fills us and enables us to be a blessing to those around us. It's you, Jesus. Thank you that we are saved from the relentless attack on our lives from the world that tries to define us by what we can accomplish or what we can consume. Thank you that we're saved from that, that we're utterly safe in your presence, in who we are, your loved son or daughter. I just want you to take a moment and just, you know, what is it that you've heard this morning? What is it that God has spoken to you about this morning? Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your pleasure in us. We receive now. We acknowledge now what you did on the cross. You did all the work that was needed so that we could come into your rest. So we just choose now. We choose now to enter your rest, to receive your delight. Yeah, for this summer, for this week,
Thank you for listening. We pray you have been blessed by this talk today. If you would like to know more about our church, where we meet, or would like to speak with someone from City Valley, please visit our website at cityvalley.org.